Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. It says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." Let's pray. Father, I ask you to bless your word this morning. Lord, I ask that you give me freedom and ease in speaking. Lord, I ask for clarity and power. I ask that Satan would be bound and the demons out of hell would be bound by the blood of Jesus this morning. I ask that each individual here will be blessed and the hearts will be touched, convicted, that lives will be changed, that souls will be won to Jesus. Father, I ask you to heal Mrs. Whitney and Miss Pitts and give them ease and, Lord, comfort them and heal their bodies. Lord, I ask you to bless Brother Kincaid and family who are down in Guatemala. I ask you to give them a safe trip, give them much rest that they need, and bring them back safely. And Lord, I just thank you and praise you for all your answered prayers and for the 45 professions and those still coming in. Lord, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to know this morning that the only way the Word of God is ever going to bless you is if you apply it to your heart. The only way a person is going to get saved is he realizes that when the Word of God is saying that he's a sinner and he needs a Savior is when he realizes God's talking to him. The only way it's going to bless the Christian lives and our lives is we realize God is talking to us and dealing with us. So this morning, as God gives me the Word, and as I give the Word to you, you apply it to your heart. Don't give it to your wife. Don't give it to your husband. Don't give it to your grandmother. Don't give it to those that ain't here. You take it to yourself. Alright? That's for you in the nursery too. So you get that. I'm going to give Janice a hard time. She'd be in there this morning, so can't let her escape. If you will, look at chapter in verse 1. It says, "My son, forget not my law." Isn't it amazing how we forget? You know, you wake up in the morning, you get rushing off, and you know, and you forgot, you got up late, and you're rushing off, and you rush off to work, and you get out there, and you're digging the ditches, you're working on the construction company, and you get over there in the clerical department, you're sitting there typing letters, or you're out there walking around your post out there at Kelly Air Force Base, and you're doing something else, you're out on the fire line shooting with these men, and you know, it's getting hot and tired, and you're getting whipped and defeated, and man, I can hardly wait till lunchtime, because more of my stomach's getting hungry. Oh, I'm hungry, you know. And just think about that lunch that your wife packed for you. Oh, it's got bananas in it, you know. It's got some pudding in it and peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And you're just waiting. Your stomach's just growling. You're hungry. And boy, lunchtime finally gets here. The old whistle goes. And boy, you go to lunch. You go to your locker or wherever you keep your lunch. And you open it up and you forgot your lunch. Oh, no. But it isn't a tragedy how we forget. Or how about we get up in the morning and we're rushing off and we say, I got to make sure I got everything. We stand at our door, we turn off the lights, okay, all the lights are off, I got my keys, I got my wallet, and I got my Bible, I'm all set for work, and we get over to work, and we drive 20 miles to work, and we find out we forgot our badge. Had to drive 20 miles back over, call the wife, and wake her up out of bed, and say, "Honey, I forgot my badge, bring my badge to work, so I can come to work," you know, and we're late, and the consequences, because we forgot. Or how about us, those that carry firearms, or those that are hunters, and those that are working firing ranges? We forget one time to remember the safety rules. Just one time, we forget to remember the safety rules. We forget to put the weapon on safety, and all of a sudden, our foot is blown off, or somebody is killed because we forgot just one time. There are consequences for forgetting. Now, I want you to know this morning that wisdom cries out, saying, "My son, forget not my law. Forget not my law. Remember the law. Remember the Word of God. Because there's consequences for not remembering what God has given us. There's consequences for not remembering the Word of God." Look, if you will, to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 22. I can hear it now. Didn't you just preach on this last week? Well, I don't want you to forget, see. And Paul over there, and I believe it was Timothy, said, or in Philippians, he said it's safe. It reminds you, it's safe. "For me indeed it's not grievous, but for you it's safe." So I'm just giving you some safety here. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22. "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, This man should be blessed in his deed. Did you see that? Did you see it? This man comes to the Word of God. He hears the Word of God. But he's not a doer. Just like us. Every Sunday morning we come, we get here at 10 o'clock, we hear Brother Taylor teach. Or we hear Brother Kincaid preach. Or you hear myself preach. We hear the Word of God and we forget it. Or else we turn on KDRY and we listen to KDRY for a while and we hear the people preach and we forget it. Or maybe we turn on the TV on Sunday mornings or Sunday nights or whatever and we listen to somebody preaching the Word and we forget about it. Or perhaps we get a little bit spiritual and we read the Word of God ourselves and we sit back at home and we read it and we forget to be a doer. You know what the Bible says we're like? We're like the man that comes to the mirror in the morning and gets out of bed. He drags himself out of bed. He gets over to the mirror and he looks in there and says, "Oh, no." And he looks how ugly he is and he says, "Oh, no." And he don't want to look, but he looks again, "Oh, you're ugly." But then he gets out there and he puts a little perfume on his face, you know, and gets all set and gets his shirt on. And he's walking down the street or comes to church and there's that girl and says, "Boy, ain't I cute? You know, just come on out with me. You know, let's go for a date here." And he forgot what manner of man he was. He's ugly. The same thing with the Word of God. I think of old Peter over there. Jesus had told him that he was going to deny the Lord 3 times. Old Peter thought he was going to serve the Lord. He said, "No, Lord, I won't deny you. I'll go to the death for you. I'll give my life for you. I'll give my all for you. Lord, I'll not deny you." But the Word of God was spoken, and Peter forgot about it because no less than 24 hours later, Peter denied the Lord 3 times. It was Peter that, oh, sure, he put up the fight. He pulled out his sword, and he cut off that serpent's ear, and the Lord rebuked him. And he went out and denied the Lord that night. He sat around the fire and he was afar off because the Lord had rebuked him and he felt sorry for himself and the Word of God had convicted him. And he sat around that fire with the world and he sat there and they asked him, "Hey, aren't you a disciple?" He said, "No, not me." And somebody else asked him, "Are you sure you're not a disciple?" "No, not me." "Well, you got to be a disciple because your speech betrayed you." They began to curse and swear because he got caught in the world. He denied the Lord 3 times. He forgot what manner of man that he was. He wasn't a doer of the Word. He didn't listen to Jesus. Jesus had told him he was going to die in the Lord. Being not so forgetful here, but a doer of the Word. This man shall be blessed in his deed. If you want to be blessed this morning, be a doer of the Word.
Amen.
Be obedient to the Word of God. A tragedy. They get so proud. They get so proud and say, "Man, I'm the most beautiful thing." You know, we walk down our... After looking at Mary, we go out and we say to ourselves, "Man, I sure am handsome, you know. Surely Janice just loved me, boy." Right, Janice? You got that down, right? You forgot how ugly you were. And some of us that get spiritual, we say, "Noah, I'm so spiritual." And we look down upon the others. "Oh, you just ain't as faithful as I am. You just ain't as good as I am. You ought to be out here witnessing more. Maybe you ought to be reading the Word of God more. Maybe you ought to be preaching. Maybe you ought to do as I do." And begin to get proud as Peter did. The Bible says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall." And you better take heed this morning. Those that start getting cocky, you better forget that you were saved by grace. You better remember the Word of God. You better come before Jesus and thank God that God has the ability to use you despite your pride, despite your self-righteousness. You better thank God and take heed this morning. Look, if you will, at the 2 Peter chapter 1. Oh, it's a tragedy when we're forgetful. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 4. "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be bare nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth." Did you see that last verse? Peter said, "I'm not going to be negligent in reminding you. Although you already know it, I'm still going to remind you. And this morning, as a preacher for God, as a servant of God, I'm going to remind you this morning that you need to be a doer of the Word. And not just a hearer only. And God, help me if I forget to remind you to pray for your brethren. God, help me if I forget to remind you to be a doer of the Word. God, help me if I forget to remind you that you need to be a witness and ambassador for Jesus. God, help me if I forget to remind you that you need to give of your tithes and of your money and give it to Jesus. And then God, help me if I forget to remind you, you need to give all to Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
I'll not be negligent. But look it up there in verse 9. He that lacketh these things, lacketh what? Lacketh these things. He lacketh faith, lacketh virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Some of us have forgotten that Jesus cleansed us by his blood. Some have forgotten that the blood of our sins are underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. Some have forgotten the grace and mercy of God that was bestowed upon us and how we got saved. Some have forgotten we've been cleansed, we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and the death angels passed over us. Some of us have forgotten. You know why? Because we lack. We lack faith. We lack charity. We lack brotherly kindness. And you can tell. Because we've forgotten we've been cleansed in the blood. We've been washed in the blood. Oh, it's a tragedy. Our sins have been cast as far as the east is from the west, and we've forgotten. We've forgotten the mercy of God. We've forgotten that blood. We've forgotten the Passover lamb. A tragedy. But do you remember? Do you remember this morning? Look at Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verse 14. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Brother Taylor just brought out what the leaven is. It's sin. It's sin. It's evilness, wickedness. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not. Do ye not remember? Do ye not remember when I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments ye took ye up? And they say unto him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it ye do not understand? You look up there in verse 18, it says, do ye not remember? Have you forgotten, my friend, that Jesus has purged you from your sin? Have you forgotten that Jesus has cleansed you? And as a Christian, you ought to be an ambassador for Jesus. As a Christian, you ought to be a doer of the Word. As a Christian, you ought to be obedient. But have you forgotten that God is able to supply your every need? Have you forgotten the miracles of God, the ability of God to supply? Although it be 5,000, and just take how many loaves did he say? Just how many loaves? 5 loaves among 5,000 people, and they took up 12 from it. Have you forgotten that God is able to give the gospel to every creature? Have you forgotten that God has the ability to supply you every need? Although you be a missionary in Guadalajara, although you be a missionary to Venezuela, although you be a missionary to some other country, although God has called you to preach, God is able to supply your need. Have you forgotten the ability of God? Don't ever underestimate the ability of God. God has the ability to supply your every need. God has the ability to give you the boldness to go out and witness to other people. God has the ability to give you the courage to go and tell others about Jesus. God has the ability to help you witness to those people at school and on that job and your commander and your officers and your friends. God has the ability as you go in different directions to help you to be a witness. Don't forget the ability of God. Do you remember? Do you not remember? Do you not remember how God has tremendously blessed this little church? Have you forgotten already? Have you forgotten how we got $30,000 for this building? Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten the money that came in for Sylvia in one day, $2,000 to get her down to Brazil? Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten over $4,000 that came in to print the gospel throughout Central America? Have you forgotten what God has done with this little assembly? Oh, God is able. God is able to supply our every need. Oh, if we just remember. We just remember what God has done for us. Oh, we need to remember. That's what we need. We need to remember, God shall supply all our needs. Look back at Proverbs chapter 3. Look what it says. He says, my son, forget not my law. Don't forget. Remember what Jesus is able to do. But let thy heart keep my commandments. Let thy heart keep my commandments. You know what we need to do? We need to get some people that will memorize the Word of God and hide it in their heart. The psalmist David said over there in Psalms 119:11, He says, Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Oh, if we only knew the Word of God, if we only had the Word of God upon our hearts and upon our minds as we walked in our daily lives, as we came and we attempted to sin, we realized that if we remember the Word, whatsoever man sows, that shall also reap. If we knew, we'd think twice about falling into that sin. We'd think twice about going different directions and going our own way, because whatsoever man sows, that shall also reap. And we'd have the Word of God there to answer those scoffers. We'd have the Word of God in our heart and our mind to tell others that don't know about Jesus, oh, we need to know the Word of God this morning. We need to bind it upon our heart. We need to keep the Word of God. We need to be a doer of the Word of God. Oh, the Word of God is our life. The Word of God is our food. We need to eat upon it. We need to feast upon it. Oh, we'd come back to the Word of God. And some of you can't be doers of the Word because you never hear. That's a tragedy in your life. That's a tragedy in my life. Oh, it's a pity. It's a pity. We need to read the Word of God. Then we need to be obedient to the Word of God. But take one step at a time. Let me give you some advice. If you can't read the Word of God, start off with one chapter a day. Anybody could do that. A five-year-old child could do that. Just one chapter a day, and God will give you the strength. And you're going to be able to read more and more and more, and you'll grow from there. But just start. That's the beginning. There's your advancement. If you just begin, you never learn to swim unless you try. You never learn to ski unless you try. You never learn to do many things unless you try. Oh, if you begin to read the Word of God, then you begin to grow. Then you'll be able to be a doer of the Word. Then you'll have the boldness you need. Oh, we need to come back to the Word of God this morning. We need to keep them in our heart. Let thy heart keep my commandments. If we only knew the Word of God, if we only knew what Jesus had said, as we go out there on that job and they give you the scum of the work, they make you get down into the pit with the mud and the oil and the slime, the grime. They make you pick up the cigarette butts. They make you take out the trash can. They make you take something out that you didn't have to do. It's not your responsibility, but because you're a Christian, they make you do it. Because of your testimony, they make you do it. If you only knew the Word of God, Jesus said, they have hated me, they'll hate you also. They have persecuted me, they'll persecute you also. And that will bring a ring of blessing to you. That will bring peace to your heart because you know Jesus has said it. And although they ridicule the Bible, although say the Bible cannot be true, then you'll know for sure it's true because they're persecuting you. And Jesus said 2,000 years ago they're going to persecute me. Oh, that will bring peace to your heart. That will bring peace to your heart. And isn't that what it says? But let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life, and peace shall they add to thee. Did you see that? Oh, if you know the Word of God, you can have length of days, and don't we have eternal life? Don't we have eternal life in Jesus Christ? Don't we have peace? Don't we have it? Yes, we do. We have peace inside of Jesus Christ. And I'm afraid there's some of us here today that aren't saved, that never knew Jesus as their Savior, and they're lost, and they're on the road to hell without Jesus Christ. They don't have peace. They wake up in the morning, they read the newspaper, they hear about the inflation. The dollar can't buy anything anymore. They can't go down and buy a good candy bar for a dollar anymore, hardly. And then when they get it, you just get this little thing in here, a big old package like that, little bit of candy bar right here, you know. Did that today. Boy, that made me mad. big old things in there. Boy, that's only, you know, 20 cents or so. Now I got the old candy bar just there. But the lost people today don't have peace. They're looking around, oh, is there going to be a war in the Middle East? Will there be another war breakout? Will they draft me? Will they draft my wife? Will my wife have to fight in the services? Will I have to fight? Oh, what am I going to do? What about taxes? What about inflation? Oh, the trials of the world. There's no peace in the lost soul today. But there can be peace. There can be peace. Oh, if you'd only not forget what God says. If you not forget the law, my lost friend. If you realize that God must judge sin to be a righteous God. And God will judge sin as a righteous God. That you'd bind it upon your heart. You can find peace. Believing the Word of God. Look at Colossians chapter 1. My lost friend, you need to look at the Word of God. You need to not to forget it. You need not to forget that God's going to judge the secrets of men. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Need I read it again? And having made peace through the blood of His cross. Amen. Who's it talking about? Jesus. Amen. The fullness is on Jesus. The fullness of the Godhead is Jesus. God, completely God, Jesus Christ, and completely man, Jesus Christ. And you know what? And having made peace through the blood of His cross. Oh, I want you to know, my lost friend, God became a man, Jesus Christ,
As a man, he fulfilled the law that you couldn't keep. He fulfilled those commandments that you couldn't keep. He fulfilled everything for you. And then you know what he did? As a man, he lived that perfect life for you. As a man, he took the judgment. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's upon you, my lost friend. It's upon you. You're going to die. You're going to burn in hell forever and ever and ever. And I want you to know what Jesus did for you. He lived the perfect life for you. He went to the cross of Calvary for you. And on that cross, he took all the sins, all your wickedness, all your evil thoughts, all your fornication, all your adulteries, all your thieving, all your lying, every sin conceivable, he took it upon him. And God judged Jesus instead of you. Jesus died in your place for the wages of sin is death. Jesus paid that debt. You know what Jesus did for you? He not only died on the cross, he went into hell for you. And he came out of hell. And because he rose again, he can offer you life this morning if you but believe. Oh, my friend, there's peace in the blood. You walk and you find it. And now God, the Holy Spirit, has been dealing with your soul for 20 years, or 15 years, or 5 years, or 1 year. God has been dealing with you since you was born. To come to Jesus, to come the way of the cross. And you harden your heart day out and day in. You harden it. You don't come to Jesus. But there's peace in the cross. You can find peace if you believe upon him. Oh, my friend, won't you come? Won't you come and get your sin purged in the blood and believe upon Jesus? Oh, that's a blessed thing. That's a blessed thing. Look back at Proverbs chapter 3. My lost friend, listen to what wisdom's crying this morning. This is wisdom talking. He's talking to you this morning. Now listen. And let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. My lost friend, wisdom cries out, and let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them on the tables of thine heart. Now I want you to know it doesn't say just take mercy or truth. It says take mercy and truth. Take them both. Bind them upon thy heart. Hide them in your heart. Realize it's mercy and truth. You see the tragedy of the world today and religions today. You know what they do? They just take the mercy. Oh, God is a God of mercy, which is true. Which is true. God is a God of mercy. The mercy of God endureth forever and ever. The grace of God is abundant. Oh, God loves you. God is a God of love. That's true, yes. But some people just take that mercy. They just take that love. They forget about the judgment of God. They forget about the truth of God. Oh, that people realize it's mercy and truth. Amen. Amen. Oh, I hear the lost people say, God won't judge me. I'm morally good. I really do good. I give to all the toenail societies, the fingernail societies. I give all to the human relations. I belong to the Boy Scouts, and I'm a scout leader, and I do this and I do that. And they say, surely God will allow me to heaven because I never killed nobody. I never raped anybody. I've never done nobody wrong. You know, every once in a while I might do something wrong, but you know, then I apologize for it. And I'm basically morally all right. I don't lie. I keep my word. I do the best I can. And God will surely allow me to heaven. And they just look at the mercy and they forget about the truth. And God and wisdom cries out, take mercy and truth. Mercy and truth. You see, the truth is that God hates sin. God hates sin with a passion. Oh, God does not like sin. He doesn't like little sins or small sins or big sins. God hates sin. God hates your pride. God hates your self-righteousness. God hates your arrogancy. God hates every evil thing that you can conceive of. God hates it. And God must judge. And God is a God of truth. And God will keep His commandments. God will judge according to His word. Amen. You know what the judgment of God is? It's eternity in hell. The pain for sin. And some of us look, oh, God can't save me. God cannot do it. Oh, no, what am I going to do? The wrath of God. The wrath of God. They see the truth, the Word of God, that they are desperately wicked in the eyes of God. All their righteousness is a filthy rag in the eyes of God. They see that. They see the truth, but they don't see the mercy. But wisdom cries out, take wisdom. Take our mercy and truth. Bind them about that neck. And I want you to know, my friend, in the cross of Calvary is mercy and truth. In the cross of Calvary is mercy and truth. They're both bound together. And there you can find life. I think about the time I got my ticket. Only ticket I ever got. I was so clean. Just ain't gotten caught me enough is all. But one time I did get caught. They said I ran a red light. And I got down to the judge. And I went to the judge. And boy, within my heart, I was pleading for mercy. I didn't want truth. Oh, judge, listen, I was innocent. You see, it was like this. I was just driving up there and I gave him my excuses how that light just suddenly turned red and I didn't really run it, you know, and how I was innocent. And oh, I was looking for mercy. I wasn't looking for truth. I wasn't looking for justice. Oh, I was looking for mercy that day. But the judge looked at me and the prosecutor stood there and said he's guilty. The judge sat there and said I was guilty. He said, I find you guilty of running this red light. The fine is $10 paid. And I went away from that judgment seat.
And I went back to the cashier. There was no mercy in that judge. Now to go back and pay my fine. But what if, my friend, that judge would have came down off his judgment seat and came back and put his old big arm around me and said, "Brent, I want you to know what has to be true. I have to give you justice. And the fine is there. The fine is $10. And yes, Brent, you're guilty and you're worthy of that fine. But I want you to know I'm going to give you some mercy." And he pulls out of his wallet $10 and said, "I'm going to pay it for you." Well, I tell you what, I'd be a fool if I didn't allow him to do it. And I'd be even crazy if I tried to do it myself. But I want you to know, my friend, that is a picture of what Jesus did for you. God looks down upon his throne and sees every man guilty in the eyes of him. Guilty of sin. Deserving of death. Deserving of hell and eternity. And God found every man guilty for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that all concludes you. Man, boy, woman, or child, that includes you. You're a sinner today. And God has found you guilty. And his fine is eternity in hell. The wages of sin is death. And death and hell are cast in the lake of fire forever and ever. And the smoke of the torment shall rise for eternity. And God pronounced the judgment. That's true. But you know what God did? Oh, God came down off his throne and became a man, Jesus Christ. And he went to the cross of Calvary and he paid your debt for you. He went to hell for you. That's mercy and truth. And if you but believe, the Bible says that if thou, that you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God is raised in the bed, thou shalt be saved. Oh, my friend, won't you come this morning and believe upon the Lord and call upon him and God will save you. And look what it says. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Oh, to find the favor of God. To find the favor of God. Look at Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Just a few pages over. Beginning at verse 32. Now therefore hearken unto me, O my children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that feareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whosoever findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Did you see that? And shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all that hate me love death. It's wisdom crying out again. And what is wisdom saying? Blessed are they that keep my ways. Oh, they come to the Word of God. They believe the Word of God. Being obedient to the Word of God will advance. You can save your soul, my lost friend. You can come to Jesus and believe upon the Word. Listen to wisdom as she cries. Hear my instruction. Listen to me. Be wise and refuse to die. Oh, my friend, how many times have you heard the gospel? How many times have you refused to come to Jesus? You've heard it over and over again. People are pleading with you to come to Jesus, but you refuse it. And wisdom cries out, refuse it not. Come to Jesus today. It's now or never. Today or never. Oh, come and believe upon the Lord Jesus. You have no guarantee that you'll live any longer. Just one of these days, your heart might stop. Just one of these days, you might get in the rest. Just one of these days, Jesus may return. Oh, my friend, it's now or never. Don't refuse it. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Oh, my friend, won't you find life and wisdom? It's Jesus Christ. The wisest thing that you can ever do is call upon Jesus for your salvation. That is the greatest wisdom I can ever give you. That is the wisdom of God. That's the wisdom of the Word. It is Jesus. He's your life. You but believe. Oh, won't you believe today? Won't you believe today? Verse 36, and it says, but he that sinneth against me wrong with his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Oh, my friend, not listening to wisdom. You're wronging your own soul. You're dooming and dooming your soul to hell. And you love death. The Bible says you love death. You love that stink and that smell as the worms begin to eat your body. You love that because you rejected wisdom. Oh, my friend, listen to wisdom and come upon Jesus. Call upon Him and God will save your soul. But you refuse it. You refuse it. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall trust us. And he shall bring it. And he shall direct our paths. Amen. He shall bring the path. I want you to know, my lost friend, you need to trust in the Lord. I want you to know, my lost friend, it's not your good works. It's not your church. It's not your priest. It's not your pope. It's not your pastor. It's Jesus. What you need to trust in this morning is Jesus. You need to trust in the Lord. My Bible says, by grace be saved through faith, that not of yourselves is a gift of God. A gift of God. There it is out for you. Just reach out and take it by faith. It'll be yours. It's not of works, as any man should boast. There's not one good deed you could ever do. No matter how many clubs you belong to. No matter what society you belong to. No matter if you belong to the Masons, or the Foresters, or as long as you belong to this church, or belong to that church. Doesn't matter. What you need, my friend, is a trust in the Lord. What are you trusting in this morning? Are you trusting in how good you was and what your parents did? The religion of your parents? Are you trusting in your morality? Are you trusting in how you speak truth all the time? Are you trusting in how you do good? Are you trusting in what you give to the church? What are you trusting in? Wisdom says, trust in the Lord.
Amen.
And lean not on thine own understanding. Oh, my friend. Your understanding will tell you that you can go your own way. Your understanding will tell you that it doesn't really matter. Your understanding will tell you that it doesn't matter at all. That's what your understanding will tell you, it's lying to you. Lean not on thine own understanding. Don't trust in your own understanding. You see, it appears foolishness. It appears utter foolishness to have God die for you. It just seems utterly foolish to have blood cleanse you of your sin. But that's what God has chosen to save you with, the foolishness of the preaching of the gospel. So don't lean on your understanding. Trust in the Lord. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. If you just but acknowledge Jesus, it's not Confucius, it's not Mohammed, it's not Buddha, it's not all these foreign gods. I want you to know who you're acknowledging this morning is Jesus. There's none other name under heaven by which man must be saved, but by the name of Jesus. And Jesus has life, and He shall direct thy path. Oh, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. He is the only way. And once you get there, you'll be on the pathway to heaven. You'll be on a pathway of life. You'll be on a pathway to glory. And there is life. Won't you come to Jesus? There's no other way. The church won't save you. Buddha won't save you. There's only one thing that'll save you. That's Jesus. And He saved you. He came to save you, boy. He died on the cross for you. His sin, He took to hell with Him. Your sin and my sins. And He rose out of hell. But if you but believe, you can have everlasting life. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Oh, my Christian friend, what we need to bound upon our heart is mercy and truth. We need to come to the lost sinners and show them the mercy of God. We also need to show them the truth of God. We need to bind it upon our heart. And it's kind of hard to realize that, but we need to bind it upon our hearts. And what will happen? We shall find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. In Psalms 5:12 it says, For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor will thou compass them as with a shield. Oh, what a blessed place to be is in the favor of God. That's a blessed place to be. The favor of God. And look what it says to you, my friend. Verse 5, my Christian friend, it says, Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. Oh, wisdom is crying out for you to trust in the Lord. He's crying out for you, my Christian friend, not to trust in your feelings or your experience, not to trust in your tongues or what you've seen or what you've felt before, but what He's trying to say is trust in the Lord.
Amen.
The just shall live by faith, says it three times in the New Testament. The just shall live by faith. It's not by sight. It's not some experience that you felt. It's not just some things that you went through. I've been through a lot of things, and they're not always true. I've experienced a lot of things, they're not always true. But my God says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Oh, just to rely upon Him. To completely put yourself in the hands of Jesus and just rely upon Him. I think of Rossi as we were talking to her, and how she took off on a plane trip the last time. As she got on that plane, she was saying that, oh, it was a blessed feeling just to realize that you was in the hands of Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, my friend, we need to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not on thine own understanding. And lean not on thine own understanding. Your understanding, my Christian friend, will tell you that you can't give to God. Your understanding will tell you that if you give to God, that you just won't have no money left. That's a lie. That's a lie. Your understanding will tell you that you can't go out and witness. That's a lie. Your understanding will say that you just don't speak too well. That you just don't have enough boldness. That's a lie. Your understanding will tell you a whole bunch of different things, but lean not on that own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our path. I want you to know, my friend, trust in Jesus. He shall direct our path. Oh, my blessed friend, my Christian friend, look at Matthew 14. This is a perfect picture of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 22. Matthew 14, 22. And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship, and they could go before Him onto the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it be Thou, bid me to come unto Thee on the water." And He said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried and cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Here is a perfect picture of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. A perfect picture. I want you to know the Lord Jesus was walking on that water. And I want you to know the disciples in that ship looked upon it, and they thought it was a spirit. And Jesus cried out, "Fear not, it is I." And there was Peter, the man that was willing to trust in God, the man that was willing to give everything. Although he denied the Lord, although he had gone through trials and difficulties, he was willing. He was willing to try something for Jesus. He was willing to step out and take that first step. He was willing to try and get out there and begin the beginning. Oh, my friend, there was Peter. He said, "Lord," he acknowledged, "trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him." Peter here acknowledged that Jesus was Lord. He said, "Lord, if it be Thou, bid me to come unto Thee on the water." Oh, Jesus, if You be Lord, if You be my God, my Savior, let me serve You. Let me come unto You. Let me be obedient. And some of you this morning have heard the call of Jesus. You recognize Jesus as Lord. You acknowledge Him as Lord. He said, "Lord, bid me to come." And He's called you to the mission field. He's called you to preach. He's called you to serve Him full time. He's called you to give. And you took that first step. You went out and tried something for Jesus. You went out and began. You took that first step as Jesus said, "Come." You was obedient. And you got out of that ship. You got out of that dead works there. And that lack of faith out of that ship. And you stepped out on the water. And you looked at Jesus. And you trusted in Him. And you began to walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, you looked upon Jesus. And there you was. You was doing a mighty work for Jesus. You weren't worried about the trials and difficulties around you. You weren't worried about the persecution, the waves of trouble coming upon you. No, you was looked upon Jesus because you had faith. You began to walk. Oh, some of you, my friends, have done that. Some of you are down in Guadalajara fighting the battles down there, getting that language. You're down there. Some of you are willing to sacrifice your lives and preach the gospel. Some of you are willing to go to the mission field. Some of you are willing to go out and witness on the streets of San Antonio. Some of you are willing to tell others about Jesus at your job and your neighborhood. Oh, you stepped out and you looked at Jesus by faith. You said, "I'm no longer going to walk by sight. I'm no longer going to stay in this ship and just go up and down to the waves. No, I'm going to get out and I'm going to walk upon the water by faith." And you looked at Jesus. You trusted in Him. You didn't lean on your own understanding. Your own understanding would say, "There's no way I can walk under water." But you looked at Jesus and believed, and you walked out of that water to go to Jesus. I want you to know you began, you had victory, and you had power upon your life. But then you took your eyes off of Jesus and you looked, "Oh no, I'm going to get persecuted. Oh no, how am I going to get the language? It's too hard for me. Oh no, where am I going to go? What am I going to do?" And you began to look at the billows about you, the boisterous wind and the waves coming about you, and you took your eyes off of Jesus and you began to sink, my friend. But oh, my friend, we need to walk by faith. And my friend, I thank the Lord that you're willing to step out there. You're not like the other disciples that just sat in the boat. You're willing to try something for Jesus. I praise God for that. I praise God for people that are willing to try. They're willing to put forth the effort to read the Word of God. They're willing to put forth the effort to stand up in the meetings on Sunday night and give a testimony for Jesus. They might not do well. They may sink, but praise God for people that try. Oh, the tragedies of people that just sit back in the boat and sit back by sight. They don't go by faith. That is a tragedy in your life. That is a tragedy in my life. We need to walk by faith. We need to trust in Jesus and believe Him. Not leaning on our own understanding. Believing about Jesus and getting out of the boat and taking a walk by faith to go to Jesus. My friend, here's a blessing right here. And when he saw the wind voices, oh, I know the trials have come, the difficulties are going to come. I know that we ain't perfect. We're going to lose our faith sometimes. And we're going to begin to sink. But look what Peter did. And he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And look what happened. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, oh, thou little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt? Oh, as you begin to sink, if you realize that, you realize that you're sinking, you realize that you're giving up and having difficulty, if you just turn to Jesus and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, save me. God will. God will immediately pull you out and bring you back. But oh, thou of little faith. If Peter had little faith, just how much faith did the mother of his disciples had that sat in there? They didn't have none. At least Peter had a little faith. He had a little faith. He was willing to try something for Jesus. Some of us need to try something for Jesus. As God calls us, we need to be a missionary. We need to be witnessing. We need to be giving. We need to be out there telling others about Jesus. We need to be a person that will love the brethren, a person that will pray for the brethren, a person that will pray for lost souls. We need to be prayer warriors. Some of you have heard the call of God. And you've hardened your heart just as some wicked sinner would be. Harden his heart against the call of God for him to be saved. Some of you know that God has been dealing with your life to surrender your life totally and completely to Him, but you haven't done it. You refuse to call. You sat back in that ship. You sat back there walking by sight. You said, how am I going to do it? You began to look at the world. You began to look at the waves. There's no way that I can go out walking in water. There's no possible way. But I want you to know, if you believe God, if you trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding, and acknowledge Him, you can do it. You can walk upon water. You can walk upon it and do a miracle. And a mighty work can be done in your life if you but believe God. Be obedient to the calling. As Jesus stood out in the water, He said, come. Come, won't you come? God's been dealing with your heart. And my lost friend, God's been dealing with your heart I don't know how long. He's been saying, come, and you refuse. He's been saying, come, and you refuse. Won't you come today? Won't you come today? I hear some of you say, but I can't. I can't witness. I can't preach. I get scared. And oh, I just don't know if God is able. I'm not sure. I'm just not sure about the Word of God. And oh, there's so many desires in my heart. And there's so many things I want. Oh, I want this and I want that. I have so many desires. Has God the ability? You have many questions. Look at Psalm chapter 37. Psalm chapter 37. Beginning in verse 3. Here it is again. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring it to pass. Oh, my friend, you need to trust in the Lord. But you say, my faith is weak. Oh, I just don't have a faith as Brother Kincaid. I just don't have a faith as Brother Taylor. I just don't have a faith as Rossi. Oh, my faith is weak. Well, I tell you how you get your faith. The Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want some faith? Get in the Word of God. Begin to read it and believe it and obey it. Get in the Word daily. Daily, I say. Daily. The psalmist said that morning, noon, and night he prayed. I want you to know, if we get in the Word of God and be faithful, just as faithful as we eat, as we eat the food that we fill in our bodies, we come to the Word of God and do that in our spiritual bodies, we begin to grow, we begin to have the faith, then we can say, I trust in the Lord, I can walk out there with Jesus, I can walk even though the things around me, the sight around me says I can't, because you have faith and you can trust in the Lord. Once you get in the Word, oh, there's your faith, my friend. The reason you doubt, the reason you don't have faith, is because you haven't been coming to the Word. The reason you doubt your salvation, because you don't believe Jesus is able to save you, that's why. But won't you come and get in the Word and your faith will be increased? Come and believe. In verse 4, oh, here's a blessed passage. Delight thyself in also the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. I see some of you saying, hallelujah. There's a verse for me. Glory to God. I can see it now. It says there, delight thyself off in the Lord. And I go, here's my part. He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Glory! I built this swimming pool. Hallelujah! Hallelujah, a four-story home and a pink Cadillac with a bathtub in the back of it. Oh, glory to God, I'm going to get the desires of my heart. Hallelujah. And you forgot to delight thyself also in the Lord. Amen. Look at Isaiah chapter 58. You want the desires of thy heart? Some of you have lost souls, lost family. Some of you have lost wives and lost husbands. Without Jesus, you want the desires of thy heart. You want them to be saved. You want your family to be saved. You want your brothers and sisters to be saved. You want to see lost sinners saved out here in San Antonio. You want to see lost sinners saved in Mexico and Guatemala and Venezuela. I tell you what, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And here's the definition of delighting yourself in the Lord. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 13. It's plain and simple. Oh, the Word of God is so true. You don't need to go to the Greek because it's just plain right here in the Word of God. Scripture with Scripture. Just apply it to your heart. Just believe the Word. And you're going to find the definition. You want to delight yourself in the Lord? Look at what it says here. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure in thy holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor Him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Listen to this. Did you get this? I want you to watch this very carefully. Then shall thou delight thyself in the Lord. Amen. Did you get that to the definition? You know, we go to Webster's and we get open up the book, and there's the definition. Here's the definition of this word, here's the definition of that word, here's the definition of this. And here we got a definition from the Word of God and how you can delight yourself in the Word, in the Lord. And if you're obedient to this, He shall give you what? The desires of thy heart. Amen. But what are the conditions? Just as the conditions in prayer. If I regard an iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. No matter how much faith you got, no matter how many times you pray, whether you pray in the name of Jesus, no matter what you do, if you've got sin in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. And if God cannot hear you, He will not answer your prayer. There are conditions. And here's the condition to get the desires of your heart. And I tell you what, if you want the desires of your heart this morning, fulfill this condition. Look at it, will you? It says, If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath of delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable. There's one. There's part one. Step one. Call the Sabbath of holy. Now I know that we are no longer Jews, and no longer under the law. We don't have to come here. We don't have to come here on the Sabbath. We're not under that law no more. But I'll tell you what. That Sabbath day was just like coming to church. Just like coming to church. If you'll come to church, if you'll partake of the assembly of yourself together, and call it holy and separate yourselves under that, and honor it, that's step one. A lot of you never come to church. You barely make it on Sunday morning, let alone Sunday night, let alone Wednesday night. You know, we got an opportunity in this little assembly here that most churches don't have the opportunity. As each individual has an opportunity to stand up and preach and give a testimony of Jesus. Most churches don't have that. Most churches around the world and around the United States don't have that. The Christians come in, they sit down in the chair, they sing a certain song, a man gets up and preaches, and then they go home. But here, you have an opportunity to take the gift that God has given you and share it with your brothers and sisters. You have that opportunity. And yet you turn down that opportunity day in and day out and you forget about it. You come to Sunday nights without a blessing, without a testimony, without a song, without a doctor. You just come here simply just so somebody else can bless you. But you're not part of the body. You don't take part of it. And yes, you are part of the body. You're part of the body of Christ. That's true. But you don't take part of the body as we attend. On Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. You don't participate. You just sit back and let somebody else do it. Old Brother Taylor will stand up. Surely Brother Taylor will stand up. Old Brother Kincaid will stand up. Old Brent will give a sermon tonight. Oh, maybe Bernie will get over there and sing a song or something. Maybe somebody else will do it. Well, what about you? You're part of the body. You have a responsibility to bring a doctrine, a song, and to bring the Word of God to your brothers and sisters. Oh, that we honor the Sabbath and call it holy, the holy of the Lord. And shall honor Him. And shall honor Him. You know how you honor the Lord? Look back at Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the firstfruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presence shall burst out with new wine. Did you get that? Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the firstfruits of thine increase. What is your substance? Your money. Your wealth. Honor the Lord with it. If you're going to delight yourself in the Lord and get your delight, the desires of your heart, you're going to have to honor the Lord. And it says with the first fruits. Now I know what you do. You say, well, I give to the Lord after I pay off my car bill, after I pay off my home bill, after I buy the food, after I buy the clothing, and then if I got enough of that, then I give to the Lord. And the majority of the time, all you got left is $10 barely. You drop it in the bucket and say, there, I've given to the Lord. Hallelujah, I'm Christian. Boy, I just give, not just give. No, the Bible says, give the first fruit. If you can honor the Lord, give the first fruit. That takes faith. That takes faith, my friend. And one of the greatest blessings that God has ever given me is showing me that we need to give the first fruits and give her all to Jesus. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 became a reality on the point of giving. It said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. My understanding said, if I gave, there's no way that I'm going to get in return. That's what my understanding said. But God's Word said, and wisdom cried out, trust in the Lord. The Bible says, give, and it should be given unto you. And it says there that if you give the first fruit, your barns are going to be filled, and your wine presses are going to burst forth with new wine. Did you get that? If we can come and believe the Word of God and what it says, if we give God the first fruits to God, He's going to supply every need. And don't you not remember that God supplied for the bread for those 5,000 and the 7,000. God has the ability. But the tragedy of your life and the tragedy of my life, we don't do that. We barely can give 10%, let alone 50%, or let alone 90%, like J.C. Penney and Art Maternal, whatever his name is, I can't pronounce it. But oh, that we've learned to give. Art Maternal. To give. They give the first fruits, not the second fruits, not the third fruits, but the first fruits. When you get that paycheck in, determine in your heart that you're going to give to God the first fruits. And God will supply you everything. This is honor the Lord, and that's how you honor the Lord. Not doing thine own ways. Oh, here's the part we don't like. About the first part, God, because we don't like to give up our money, boy. Just staple down their back, that old wallet there. Just squeeze the old head out, make old Abe Lincoln sweat a little bit. It says, not doing thine own ways. Not doing thine own ways. Your own ways, you ought to be up. What career are you going to do? You have already determined in your heart, no matter what God says, no matter what anybody says, it doesn't matter. You've already made up your mind that you're going to go in your own direction, your own way. I'm going to do this. Well, I'm going to go to college. Or I'm going to go in this career. Or I'm going to start here. Or I'm going to go there. I'm going to do this or that. And you forgot about God's way. You forgot about God's call upon your life. What about God's call? Not doing your own ways. Then you should delight thyself in the Lord. But you already made up your mind. You already made up your mind that you're going to be a security policeman for the rest of your life. And you forgot about what God would have you to do. What is it that God would have you to do? Not doing your own way. Look what else it says. Nor finding thine own pleasure. Well, I've already lost 99.9% of you. Here's the other percent, the 1%. I'm going to lose you right here. Not doing thine own pleasure. Oh, you wake up. You wake up in the morning and say, glory, it's Saturday. What am I going to do today? I think I'll go down to the coast and go swimming for my pleasure. I think I'll go down to the bowling alley, and I think I'll bowl me a few games, maybe try to get me a 200 game here. I think I'll go out there and shoot some golf. I think I'll just sit back and watch TV. You do your own pleasure. Night after night, people are dying in hell and dropping into hell day after day because nobody told them about Jesus. And what are you doing? What is the average Christian doing? He's sitting back in his home, in his luxury chair, his easy chair. You know what he's got on? He's got the boob tube on. You know what he's watching? Candid camera or something like that, a mash or whatever comes on anymore. You're doing your own pleasure. You sit back and you fill your own mind. You're forgetting about the lost souls. Forget about the desires of your heart. The desire how you'd like to see your family and friends saved. How you'd like to see a power upon your life. How you'd like to be able to walk with Peter out of that water and go to Jesus. How you'd like to have victory in your life and joy and peace. And all the desires you want in your heart, but you're not willing to give up your pleasures. Oh, we've come and learn that. That's how you delight yourself in the Lord. Not doing thine own pleasures, nor speaking thine own words. We make up in our mind what we're going to say. Well, I don't have to witness to him. Let's just talk about the weather today. And you go on and you mutter your own words day in and day out. But if you don't do it, if you follow this, if you honor the Lord, call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And look what Psalms 37 says. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall what? Give thee the desires of the heart. I want you to know there's a promise of God. If we meet the condition, if we follow what it said over there in Isaiah 58, that God's going to give the desires of our heart. There's God's Word. You can believe in it. You can trust upon it. You can lean upon it. There it is in black and white, right before you. You're God. If you just delight yourself in the Lord, meeting the conditions. And it says in verse 5, it says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Oh, my friend, if you just trust in the Lord, and you just believe upon Him, you delight yourself in Him, and then commit your way unto Him. What we need this morning is somebody that will put some grit in their backbone, crawl in their backbone, or however He said it, Just get some backbone into you and get some guts in you and commit your way to the Lord. No matter what the cost, no matter what the difficulty, determine in your heart that you're going to do it for Jesus. Determine in your heart that you're going to rise in the morning and begin praying for those you work with. Begin praying for your neighbors and your friends. Begin reading the Word of God. Make a commitment. Commit it in your heart. Make a commitment to Jesus. Oh, that we get some soldiers that would carry the sword with power and be able to cut. Oh, that we get some soldiers that would sweat a little for Jesus and get out and work for Him that had a bit of a commitment in them. You know what? I had a commitment 4 years or 3 years ago. I signed a contract that committed my life for 4 years. Oh, there have been times when I said, no, I don't like this commitment. Let me out, Uncle Sam. But Uncle Sam wouldn't do it. I was committed. I want you to know that if you just put it, make yourself a commitment unto Jesus and commit yourself to Him and rely upon Him and ask Him to protect you from the wiles of Satan and deliver you from the deception and the flesh and oh, just come to Him and commit your hands into Him, that God will protect you. God will complete your work in you. Complete His work in you. Oh, we need some people to commit themselves unto Him. Commit their ways unto Him. Trust also Him. He shall bring it to pass. He will do it. He will do it. The tragedy is we go our own direction. We live for our own pleasure. We do our own things. Back to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. It says, be not wise in thine own eyes. I'm trying to hit everybody here. I'm not trying to miss anybody. This is for you. My lost friend, be not wise in thine own eyes. Don't tell yourself that you got another day, because you don't. You don't have not one guarantee the next breath. You don't have not one guarantee of the next heartbeat. You don't have the next guarantee that tomorrow will ever be here. You have no guarantee. Be not wise, no eyes. Don't tell yourself that you got another day, because you don't. Now is the time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. If you're ever going to get saved, it's got to be now. Don't be wise, your own eyes. Don't tell yourself that you can get to heaven on your own moralness, or your own moralness, or because you sat in church for 20 years, or because you gave to all the desires, or because you belong to a club or something. Don't be wise, your own eyes. Come to Jesus. Come the way of the wisdom that cries out that Jesus paid your debt. Believe the Word of God. Come upon Jesus and believe upon Him that paid your debt for you, that went to hell for you and took your sins for you. Don't be wise in your own eyes. And my Christian friend, don't be wise in your eyes. Don't tell yourself that you can serve the Lord tomorrow. Don't tell yourself it doesn't matter. Don't tell yourself that God's not going to judge your sin. Know ye not that we all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to stand one day. And God's going to judge the secrets of men. The secrets of men. The secrets of men. Those things that you thought that your wife didn't know about. Those things you thought that your husband didn't know about. God's going to judge the secrets of men. How many hours you spent in the Word of God? How many hours you sat on your knees and cried out for Jesus? Cried out for mercy? And cried out for lost sinners? And cried out for power? And cried out for the elders to preach the power? How long have you been praying for the brothers and sisters? Oh, God's going to judge the secret of men. The secrets of men. Every last one of them. What you've done for Jesus and what you haven't done for Jesus is all going to be brought up at the judgment seat. My lost friend, your every secret is going to be brought before God too. And if you don't have the blood of Jesus, if your sins aren't underneath that blood, you're going to stand before God in your sin. You're going to die in your sin, and you're going to stand before there, and God's going to reveal every wicked thought that you ever thought. God's going to show you every wicked sin you ever did. God's going to show you your wickedness and your evilness, and you know what's going to happen? God's going to cast you in the lake of fire for eternity. Eternity. That's why it says here, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Be not wise in your own eyes. Don't go by your own wisdom. Go by the Word of God. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the hate, pride, arrogancy, evil, and a forward mind. That is the fear of the Lord. The hate, pride. The biggest defeat in most people's lives. The reason they never get saved is because they're too proud. They're too proud to humble themselves and realize that they need a Savior. They're too proud to walk down an aisle and call upon Jesus. And most Christians are too proud too. They're too proud to realize they need to confess their sins and get right with the Lord. Oh, pride! And God hates it. And if that's the fear of the Lord, and what we need is the fear of God. We need some old-fashioned trembling at the name of Jesus. That's what we need. We need to see the power of God in somebody's life. I heard it was at Finney and walked down the street and people just fall on their knees and tremble. Because the man of God had walked and the Holy Spirit was upon the man. And they just trembled. I heard of preachers that were preaching. People would sit back in the pews and just their fingers would just grind in the grain because of the fear of God. They're trying to hold on because they're afraid they're going to go to hell. And my friend, my lost sinner friend, I want you to know if you don't come to Jesus, you're going to drop into hell for eternity, forever and ever and ever.
the smoke of your torment shall rise for eternity. You're going to drop there and spend there forever. And there'll be no rest day nor night. There'll be no mercy. There'll be no water. Nothing for you. Only destitute. Only burning. Only pain and agony forever and ever. My friend, you should know the fear of the Lord. Look at Exodus chapter 20. Definition of fear of the Lord. I hear some people say that the definition of the fear of the Lord is just to reverence God and to hold Him in awe. But I want you to know something. That's not the fear of the Lord. When you're scared, you're scared. I think about the time I almost got killed running over a bridge and we had to jump over this big old hole. I could have been splattered. Now that was fear. I think about the time when I'd done some wicked stuff and this guy was about ready to punch my face, and that was fear. You know what fear is? You're scared. You're shaking. That's fear. I didn't hold that guy in awe. I didn't reverence him. I was scared. And that's what fear is. And what we need to do is fear God. The fear of the Lord. Look at Exodus chapter 20 and verse 19. Well, verse 18. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountains smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. They said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, that His fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. Did you see that? There was God up on that mountain. The people began to tremble. They began to run. They were too afraid. They didn't want to face God. They said, Moses, you speak unto us. Don't let the Lord speak unto us, lest we die. Now, my friend has fear. That's what we need. We need to fear God. My lost friend, you need to fear God. Because one day, you're going to feel that smoke. You're going to feel that judgment of God. You're going to drop into hell. You're going to burn forever and ever. If you don't get saved, if you don't call upon mercy and truth, Jesus, if you don't call upon Him today, you're going to drop in there. And the rest of your life, you're going to burn for eternity. Oh, we need to fear the Lord. Look what the fear of the Lord is. That His fear may be before you, your faces, that ye sin not. If some Christians got some old-fashioned fear and realize that God is going to judge sin, they think twice about falling into sin. They think twice about going their own direction. They think twice about not believing God. They think twice about not telling people about Jesus. Oh, people knew the fear of God. That's what we need, is the fear of the Lord. It's a tragedy none of us do. We walk off with our necks stuck in the air and thinking that God's never going to judge us for our sin and God's never going to judge us for our unfaithfulness, but I want you to know what's going to happen. No matter what you say, no matter what you believe, God's Word says it's going to happen. And you'll fear that day. You'll bow your knee to Jesus. You'll bow your knee. Look at Luke chapter 12. Verse 2. There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. That which ye have spoken in the ear in the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after they have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. I want you to know this morning, my lost friend, the person you're to fear is not the person that can come and take your life. Not the crazy maniac that's got a 38 and come up and blow your brains out. That's not the person you're to fear. It's not some guy that come and beat your face in. I want you to know who you're to fear this morning. You're to fear God Almighty that's got the power of your life in His hands. That can take your life this very moment. He can drop you to hell for eternity. I want you to know you're supposed to fear Him. You're supposed to tremble at Him. And my friend, if you get the fear of God in your life, you'll come to Jesus and believe. You'll be saved if you know the judgment of God. If you knew what eternity was going to be like for you in hell, if you knew that the saints of God and God Almighty is going to look down on your carcass forever and ever, they're going to see the worms eating your face, the smoke of your torment is going to rise forever and ever. You'll be crying out for mercy, but there'll be no mercy. You'll cry for water, but there'll be no water. Then you'll have the fear of the Lord. You'll be crawling on your knees and saying, God, save me. You'll cry for mercy while you have a chance. There's no mercy tomorrow, but there's mercy today in Jesus. Won't you come, my lost friend? And my Christian friend, I want you to know, you're going to know the fear of the Lord when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And everything that you've ever said is going to be revealed. All your unfaithfulness is going to be revealed. And God's going to judge you. Then you know the fear of the Lord. Oh, my Christian friend, my lost friend, what we need this morning is people to get on their knees and get back with God, to repent of their sin, and they're lost through the call upon Jesus and get saved. For Christians to make a commitment to trust in the Lord, begin walking by faith, not forgetting the law, and obeying the commandments and abiding upon their heart, and walking in the fear of God. That's what we need this morning. And won't you do it this morning? Won't you do it this morning? You don't have tomorrow. You don't.